It's Friday. Oh, yeah. It's Friday, everybody. Whee! Happy Cinco de Mayo. Almost. May the 4th be with you. Friday. Hi, Bill.
I wanted to see if you could do the whole hour. I said to myself, once Wendy gets to this stage, I bet she could pull it off.
I could have gone longer, but you know, why bother?
You gave it your all.
It's just something about Friday and sunshine that really make it a golden day.
It's a nice combination.
And we don't get it very often.
Not enough. Not enough. Can I make a prediction?
Sure.
You are emceeing a charity event tomorrow night. And for the past few weeks, about once or twice a day, you tell me how reluctant you are, nervous you are, scared you are, afraid you are. And I know it's going to go off really well. So my prediction is on Monday, you will come in and go, I don't know what I was worried about. It went off without a hitch.
You know, I don't get scared. I just, I don't like
There's a lot going on behind the scenes to make it the event a success.
And I just don't like things hanging over my head.
Right.
Good or bad. That's what's weird about me.
Right. Just the mere idea that there's something that will happen in the future, I've noticed, it plays with your head a little bit. Oh, no, in just 3 short weeks, this is coming up. In just 2 weeks, I have to do this. That's a lot for you to take in somehow.
I know, and I feel bad because even good things, like, say, for instance, we're getting a new car or something.
Yeah.
And we're waiting for, I mean, we're not, but just say we were. It's like, oh, we're getting our new car this Sunday.
Yeah.
Which we can't because they're not open on Sunday.
Right.
But I'd be like, oh, we're getting the car. Oh, like I should enjoy it and look forward to it instead.
But it scares you.
It just, I guess I think about the negative, like what could go wrong. I don't even know what it is, Bill. But yes, I have an event for NAMI, which is the National Alliance of Mental Illness. It's happening. NAMI DuPage is having a fundraiser.
NAMI, can you hear me? Open it up with that. Just start right at the very beginning. Just sing that at the beginning.
I might. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I should have had you write all my material.
Is it anticipation anxiety? Is that what it would fall under?
Yeah.
It is, right?
That's what they call it.
AA. It's AA.
It is. That's my AA.
Yeah.
And I don't drink that much anymore, which maybe I should go back to drinking more because I wasn't as worried about
what
things.
What if the doctor said that? You know, we've taken a look at your chart. You really need to get more alcohol in your system.
I would like that. And start smoking again,
what
too.
What a good doctor. I think the White House had a doctor like that recently.
I think you're right.
You might want to call over there and see if he's still available.
I'm going to make an appointment. But yeah, no, everything will be fine. I got to be honest with you. I'm not really sure of the time of everything, but you can go to NAMI's website. That's what I mean. I don't know who's in charge, but there's a lot of information I'm not aware of yet, but it's fine. I can wing these things.
There's nothing better in the world than index cards.
Oh, I love them, and I get the big ones.
Oh, the extra jumbo size index cards. Because you just throw down information, and then even when you don't know something, you just go to the cards. You'll be fine.
I'm not nervous about it. I can't explain to you, because I know you think I am.
Yes.
But you're not. It's not nerves. Because, you know,
you just want it to be in the past instead of in the future.
Isn't that terrible? And at the moment that I'm doing it, I love it.
Yeah.
It's just the beforehand that, you know, working at the Loop radio station, I'll never forget, I got to introduce the Moody Blues. I think it was the World Music Theater or whatever it is now, but it was the one in Tinley.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Moody Blues, and I'm a big Moody Blues fan. It was a big concert, a lot of people there, and there was construction on the way there. Now, I cut things very close, as you know.
Yeah.
I left, usually for appearances, I leave early just to make sure I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause an appearance is different than, like, the routine of coming to work every day.
Yeah, right.
And there was construction really holding things up, and I was supposed to be there at a particular time, and I had the stage manager's number, the cell phone number, and he said, call if there's a problem. Well, there was a problem. There was construction, and they were stopping the traffic flow for 5 minutes at a time so they could do some work, and then they'd let you go.
That's handy.
Totally unanticipated.
Yeah.
And I was not going to make it by the time I was supposed to be backstage, so I called, and I said, I can't tell you how sorry I am.
Yeah.
Whatever you need me to do, the band before them is whatever you need me to do.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, oh, okay, well, we'll hold the show.
Yeah.
I said, excuse me?
That happens, though. They'll hold a show.
No, not for me. I found out they weren't ready. They weren't ready to go on.
It made it sound better that way.
It sure made me feel... Then it gave me more pressure. Like, oh, my God.
All these people are waiting because of me.
Justin Hayward. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But if you notice, and I'm sure you've introduced some bands or performers, and they like you to go on right as... You're going to say, and now here are the...
Yeah, right.
Because, you know, if you go out there before they're ready, you say, okay, everybody, let's put your hands together and welcome Moody Blues. And then like a half hour goes by and...
There's no Moody Blues.
Right. So they need to make sure the band is ready. And thankfully, they had more hair issues than I did and had to get their hair ready and all worked out. That might have been when this started, this anticipatory anxiety.
But, you know, if I can put it into an amusement park term... You know how the scariest part of a roller coaster is when you go on that kind of upswing? It's
the crank.
Right. It's that slow...
Anticipation.
It's messing with your head going, oh, why have I done this? What am I doing? You know, the whole time that the car is inching up towards the top of the biggest hill and then gravity will pull it down. That's the scariest part because
yet you choose to do that.
Yeah. You've made a decision on your own to do that. And I always think that with my fear of needles, the scariest part for me is not the needle in the arm. It's that time.
Thinking about it.
Yeah. When they're holding the needle up in the air and they're pressing the bottom and that serum is squirting out of it. That's the scary part. It's not the actual thing. It's what comes before it.
And I just don't like, I'm very last minute.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I have to tell you that.
So that's part of it, too, is
that's
knowing something
thing.
Is in 11 days. You go, oh, man, 11 days.
I unfortunately, our kids pick up a lot of our good qualities and a lot of our bad qualities. Mm-hmm. And my younger son, Dylan, has a lot of when something's hanging over his head, it freaks him out.
Mm.
It's just, you know, you kind of like, and I don't like to commit to things, and it's not like I'm expecting something better to come in its place.
Right.
It's just...
What if?
What? But not even better.
Yeah.
Just, I don't want to commit to things, because what if it's raining that day, and my hair looks bad?
Oh.
What if I don't feel well?
Well, there's a chance of all those things happening. But why don't you...
That's why I'm neurotic.
Why don't you, like, turn it around to your advantage and say... What a wonderful evening Saturday will be. I will dress nice and people will see how nice I look and they'll compliment me and I'll see fans, you know, that listen on the radio and I'll spend time with them.
And
I'll
it's
maybe
a good
make
cause.
Some new, it's a good cause. And in the end, everybody will be so happy and they'll say, hey, you really helped us achieve our goal. Why don't you turn it into a negative to a positive?
Because none of that's important to me. Phil, I am a piece of work. If I could just tell you,
yeah?
There was this church luncheon that one year someone asked me to MC it, and it was like a fashion show, women's ladies luncheon for Lent.
Oh, the ladies luncheon for Lent?
It was worded a little
that.
Better. The pre-Lenten luncheon.
Oh.
And someone asked me to MC it, and there would be a fashion show, and I did. And it was fun, and I had a great time. And then they asked me the next year, and I couldn't say no because I feel guilty.
Yeah.
And I did it, and I was like, oh, I got to do it. And I had a great time when I did it.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next year when they asked me again, I'm like, why do they keep asking me? And I did it, and I had a great time.
You need to do poorly at it next time.
Well, they changed management, and then one year they didn't ask me.
And then what happened? Felt left out?
I felt let down.
Yeah, right.
But then I was relieved because now I can say no and don't worry about it anymore.
Yeah, you're off the chain letter.
I am off the hook.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, that's better, I guess.
But
you're good. You see, I know it's a day, now it's tomorrow. It's that soon. When you come in on Monday, you'll go, I don't know what I was worried about. It was so great. Everybody loved it. It was
not worry. I wish I could explain what's in my head. It's not worry.
It's just knowing there's something there.
Yeah, because now all of a sudden my son Michael got a last minute gig and he's playing tomorrow. But I realized that I could do both because he's playing from 1 to 4.
Oh, you're fine.
I might have to leave a little early.
That's all right.
But I just, you know.
That's all right.
It's fine, Bill.
You'll be okay.
I should worry about the show more.
Don't worry.
I do everything else.
It's fine. You think they'll ask you back for next year? I hope they do that on Saturday so you can think about it for 365 days every day. What did I do? I still have 314 days until that event. I'm already worried about it.
I have to start, you know, I could never say no to my family, to my mom, to my sister, to my grandmother.
Yeah.
Anytime a parent or family member would ask you to do a favor, I could never say no. Mm-hmm. It was Catholic guilt. Could mm-hmm. never do it. And then I remember the first time I said no, I might have hurt some feelings, but it's like, I can't go to this family function, and they were disappointed, and they got over it. And then I realized that's liberating.
Right.
To all of a sudden be able to go, you know what? My time is valuable, and I can't make it here.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't really have a big problem with that. You're able to do that.
I can do it.
I'm not.
I can do it. I had one of my grandfathers, Papa Charlie, Wendy. You're familiar with the work of Papa Charlie.
I am.
A very busy man, a restaurateur who was always at the restaurant.
What was the restaurant again?
Ados on Rush Street. He was one of the owners of Ados on Rush Street. So because he was so busy, he rarely attended family functions. He just couldn't get away. The restaurant was a 24-hour-a-day situation for him. So, you know, there would be weddings that he would miss or first communions or you name it. The whole family would be gathered, but Papa Charlie was unable to. And every once in a while, like I remember one of my birthdays, this would have been my 10th birthday, I think, he was there. And that was like the coolest thing in
the world.
I mean, there were tons of other people there, and there were great gifts, and the cake was great and everything. But the fact that, like, the busiest guy that I knew went, I'm going to put the restaurant aside, and I'm going to show up. It's his 10th birthday. That was the most amazing thing in the world to me.
Papa Charlie?
Papa Charlie.
You should be more like Papa Charlie.
I long to be.
There are times that in family functions, your wife doesn't even make you go.
No, many times she does not.
I can't believe how you get off the hook for those things.
I say to my wife, I got to attend to Papa Charlie's restaurant. She goes, well, that's closed many years ago. Well, we're working on a surprise. I don't want to get in too deep. But I got a shipment of clams coming at 11 a.m.
You're like Mr. Krabs.
Yeah. I'm not sure why, but yes.
Because of he had the Krusty Krab on SpongeBob. I guess your girls are older than my
that's
boys.
That's why. I thought it was some sort of a malady that I
no.
had.
No. But there are like family things where, honestly, like how long has this been going on where you're let off the hook? And how was it like the first year where you said, Terry, I really don't want to go?
There are some family functions, like you know that I do not like Thanksgiving, right? So when Terry and I first started dating, as it got to be serious, that was pretty very soon. I mean, as soon as we started dating, we realized I told her this is magical for you. So I explained immediately that Thanksgiving is my least favorite day of the year. And more than likely, if this progresses, you know, our relationship, I probably will not attend Thanksgiving functions. And she goes, really? And I go, yeah. And then she like understood, you know, I mean, I went to a couple of them, but hardly any. Like,
were you purposely bad and didn't talk to people so it would be easy for her to say it's just best if he doesn't come?
No, I wasn't.
Because I got to be honest with you.
It would have been easier.
She is the only woman that I know that would just let
that
would let that slide.
I agree with you.
And I should be more like her.
Well, here's what would happen. Like, on the years that I would go to, and Thanksgiving is like the big one that I'd go out of my way to avoid.
You hate
turkey,
first of all.
I don't like turkey. I don't like anything about Thanksgiving. So it's just a horrible day for me. So, like, she would spend the whole day just saying to me, Are you liking this? Is any part of this good? Do you like? And I'd say to her on the way home, I go, I don't want to do that to you. I don't want you to spend a whole day worrying about whether or not I'm having a good time because, you know. So
that's
then we
playing the martyr. That's good.
Yeah. Well, thank you. But then we invented this thing where we just have it by, you know, once we had the girls, we'd go, well, the four of us, we'll just go out to dinner, the four of us. And it's been great.
Yeah.
And then she goes, oh, I guess that's the way we should do it from now on.
Because I guess the reason why I couldn't be more like Terry in that respect is I'm worried about what other people are going to say. Like, she didn't care that her family wouldn't say something like, where's Bill?
No, they know. Everyone knows. And I'm a lump.
Just on Thanksgiving, though.
Why invite that guy over? Well, it would always get to be, I told you this, I would bring Chinese food, and then her dad would always make fun of me, and then he'd go, hey, I'm done making fun of you. Can I have some of the lemon chicken? And I go, yeah, well, yeah, you can have a couple pieces of lemon chicken, but the rest is mine, you know? So it would get, you know, and then more and more people would go, how come we don't all have Chinese food for Thanksgiving?
Well, then how come you didn't start hosting it at your house and having Chinese food?
Because we always have Christmas at our place, it's a big family. It would be weird if we had both Thanksgiving Christmas. Yeah,
but why didn't they start getting Chinese food if everybody was eating
it's
yours?
It's the weirdest thing. Everybody wanted it.
Now I want Chinese food. Now I have to have Chinese food today.
Everybody, every single person would go, oh, that looks so good. What is that? And I'd explain what it is. And go, oh, I would love to have, next year, I would love if you'd get some extra of that. But then the idea, let's all have it. But then everybody goes, oh, but that's rude to the pilgrims.
How does Chinese food look better than a turkey, mashed potatoes,
so much better,
stuffing,
Judy.
Green bean casserole?
Listen,
so
I agree with you, but if he doesn't like it and then the rest of the family ate his Chinese food that he brought, why don't you just do Chinese food?
Right.
Do turkey Chinese food. They don't even use turkey.
Right.
Who doesn't love Thanksgiving dinner?
I don't.
You just don't like turkey?
He doesn't like turkey, doesn't like family.
No, I do like most members of the family.
Doesn't like cranberry sauce.
Yeah, I don't like anything that
gravy, not a fan.
Stuffing?
You know, we can talk about it more at Thanksgiving. But when I was growing up, and I know other families experience this too, there was this weird separation of all the guys sitting in one room watching football and all the women in the other room cooking. Mm-hmm. And I used to go through there, and I go, this is crazy. Like any other time, there's intermingling. And
you as a kid would say that?
So what, you're turned off by, that's why you're turned off by the meal now?
Were you 65 when you were supposed to be 6?
I'm Benjamin Button's brother.
I guess.
I'm Billy Button.
Weren't you one of those males sitting in there watching the game?
No. Because I didn't want, because it disturbed me that there was so much separation between.
Oh, my God.
You know, it just bothered me.
That was my family always, so I.
But on days that were not Thanksgiving. Didn't that disturb you, though?
Yeah, even worse, the men who would sit there and wait to be served.
Right, that's the other thing.
We didn't have any men in my family. They all died, so.
Perfect!
Willingly, yes. Yeah. So please, please take me.
Then my grandmother, who would cook the feast, would, like, sit in the kitchen and eat. Alone.
That's the worst.
I did hate it. We used to yell.
See what I mean?
But it didn't turn me off of. I love the food still. As a matter of fact, I do Thanksgiving now.
But I do too. I love it.
Here's the part about the food. Unless you really love the preparation, that 2 or 3 days of getting food ready and that 3 hours of cleanup afterwards. That's the craziest thing in the world.
See, if we did it all the time, but it's such a...
It's once a year.
It's a big deal for once a year, and I look forward to it.
And you do it in shifts. Like, you know, when everybody leaves, Jimmy Mack is great. He usually does all the table cleanup, but we don't do everything. We leave some of the wine glasses on the table till the next day.
We eat twice.
Yeah.
Always, my family. Always. Yeah. We eat once early and then once again a little bit later. So
the same people are at both sittings?
Yeah. No one leaves because we know we're going to eat again.
They lock the doors from the inside. Or outside, really.
You hear the line.
Nobody leaves.
Right.
All right, are we all here?
We just eat once.
Well, now that I have it, it's much smaller. I mean, this is back in the day when it was a lot bigger. So
Is there some family fighting?
We don't fight
on
things.
Not in my
house. You guys don't?
No.
You know why? Because my sister started playing Animal Bingo. And I, honest to God, I know it's ridiculous.
That brought the family together?
My sister is a retired attorney who now is a dog trainer and volunteers at Brookfield Zoo and the West Suburban Humane Society. And she loves animals. And she brought this Animal Bingo one year. And she purchased a bunch of little, some goofy and some nice little gifts that if you win the bingo card, you get to pick like a gift, a prize.
Yeah.
And the kids looked forward to it. The adults, it was like as soon as it's dinner, wait a little bit, have some coffee and pie, and then it's like, when are we playing bingo? And
we gamble.
Yeah.
Oh, see, that's
we
fun,
We play
too.
That left, center, right.
We do that after the bingo.
Yeah, so everyone loves that.
Yeah.
Because it's a big pot.
It's fun. It's fun to be together.
The oddball, Bill. I'm telling you.
I know.
Most people love Thanksgiving.
I know.
So much so that my in-laws have it on the Wednesday before.
What?
Why?
Well, then, because everyone can go then to their other in-laws.
A bonus Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's because it's 10 kids, 10 brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
So they've always, when I was in high school, I would go to their party. on Wednesday. It was just a big party.
Family fighting. There's no one in the family that goes, oh, don't.
Well, if you want to have a good Thanksgiving, of course there are some fights, but not major where somebody storms off. I don't know. I can't speak for your family.
Never. But now it's a little bit more tense with the whole political scene. But besides that, you just try to get past it. You know, you might mention it, and then we
don't let anybody talk politics.
We always shut it down. Good move. Because
Safety reasons. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I could go for some turkey and stuffing right now.
I know, me mashed too, and Chinese gravy. Food. I want both.
Oh, get Chinese anytime.
But now Chinese food, there's never any turkey involved. They don't have turkey dishes.
No,
chicken, pork, beef.
Yep,
shrimp,
sub gum.
That's the other funny thing, because you know I'm half Jewish, right? So on my dad's side. So my dad's family, there's several members that wouldn't touch pork with a 10-foot pole under any circumstances.
For religious
reasons. Unless it's in Chinese food, in which case it's fine.
How is it really?
I can't figure it out.
Interesting. The thing about Chinese food, it's good once, you know, you have it, and then I don't want it again for a long time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He eats it how many times a week, honestly?
I would say between lunch and dinner, I probably have Asian food of some kind probably 4 or 5 times.
A week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I love, like, pad thai and stuff, but I just...
That's in there because it's Thai food,
right,
so that
counts. Yeah. So, but no, it's like a kind of, not a luxury, but I, you know, when I say, oh, let's get Chinese food, it's a big deal.
We don't do it frequently. Yeah.
I've had it for dinner twice this week and once for lunch, and I'm probably going to have it tonight for one or the other.
Wow.
For lunch or dinner.
But there are so many. Do you get the same thing every time?
No, always different stuff.
See, then it's worth it, because, like, I love egg foo young, but I don't get it every time.
And maybe that's because I only eat certain.
Chop suey?
No. But my Polish grandmother would make chop suey, which was kind of a turnoff for me for many years.
It was not really chop suey.
No, it wasn't.
My aunt had the same recipe with celery.
Right.
No flavor.
So then I didn't like Chinese food for a long time.
But that's not even really, you know, that's not Chinese food, right? That's an American version of Chinese food.
Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, I only order certain, you know, things, beef, pea pods. I don't get a big variety of Chinese food, which is probably why I don't order it a lot. Yeah, beef and pea pods are good.
Those are so good.
Beef and broccoli,
I love those,
pepper steak.
Those pot stickers.
Me too.
And the other crab reg. Okay, now I guess I do have
Chinese food.
I like egg rolls. I have to have an egg roll.
Yeah, always.
I have to.
Well, more and more places are getting away from egg rolls and going spring rolls.
I don't like the spring roll.
I don't either. Go egg rolls.
I do. No, they're so much lighter.
I don't want light. If I'm getting an egg roll, I want it to be crunchy, and I want shrimp and pork in there.
And fried in oil, like for a day, and
and you know, the good ones have peanut butter in there as a solidifier. You know that, right?
Peanut butter?
Yeah.
Peanut butter.
Some of them are too peanut. I don't like peanut butter, so there are some that are ruined.
If you don't like it, it's not good for you, but there's a couple by me. I go out of my way to find the ones that are
inside
the
egg roll?
Yeah.
The Jiffy Inn. Isn't that the place
There's a place called the Jiffy Inn.
Or the Skippy Inn or whatever.
Skippy Inn.
Jiff, sorry. Oh, I ruined my own joke.
Oh.
You got so excited.
I didn't know such a place existed. I was ready to go right after the show. All right, we'll take a quick break. Judy's got the news, and then there's more of us, Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I have American Weathermakers coming over today because, you know, we get this 80-some degree weather. You don't use your air conditioner for the whole season. And all of a sudden, 77 degrees in my house, turned the air on, got down to 76. I don't think it's working.
You turned the air on for 77? Wow.
My
kids have been begging me, and I said
In the house, it was 77. You would have your house at 77?
Maybe that's a little bit too warm.
I got hot flashes coming out the...
Careful.
I like to have it cold. How can you sleep when it's hot?
My point was, I just turned the heat off 3 days ago.
Yeah.
And then the kids are like, I could put the air on. I'm like, no, we just turned the heat off.
Yeah, but
give me a couple days.
Do you know here in Chicago, there was one night it was 30 degrees at night. We had to turn our heat on because our house got to 61 degrees.
Yes, I know. It's been crazy.
And there are times until it's full blown summer that we're going back and forth with the heat and the air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
I won't do it.
There's not a law that no one will come arrest you.
I can't do it. No can do. Mm. Although, I got to say, these winds, my gazebo, my beautiful gazebo, which will be featured in my next Goodbye Girl, by the way, coming up in May.
I can't wait.
Destroyed. The canopy just ripped to shreds.
Seriously?
Yeah, it looks great. I'm having a party on Sunday. I can't wait.
A gazebo party?
Kind of, yeah. Well, now it'll be a half a gazebo.
Will all the Gatsbys be there?
The great gazebo.
Yes.
If somebody
and
we'll
be, and I'm going
to
make chop suey.
Guess who at WGN has a gazebo? I would say, well, Judy probably has a gazebo. That would be my number one guess.
Yeah.
And well, David Jennings.
Backyard.
I bet he has a gazebo.
What do you think I have in the middle of my gazebo? A chandelier.
A chandelier?
Did that blow off?
No. It was just there was a little rip in the canopy when I put it on. I just put it on literally last week to do my goodbye girl. And so there was a little rip, and the winds were just relentless.
They were really
yesterday.
Bad.
Yeah, just because
bad.
I sleep in the attic. It was ridiculous. I mean, well, I redid the
attic.
That's
where her bedroom is, Bill. Don't just think she crawls up.
Wow.
Because I was a bad girl. So I slept.
You're like a horror movie.
Slashing myself.
What's that noise in the attic? I don't know. Let's go up there and see.
But it was really bad. The winds were just awful.
Bad. And we had like a half-dead ash tree in our backyard that thankfully we got cut down last year, because that's what was worrying me, is half the tree was dead and it was up so high that with these
And don't you love when you hear the creaking?
I know.
You know that baby's coming down soon.
So yeah, we got it taken down, and now I'm not worried about the winds anymore. I kind of like it.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't have a gazebo to break either.
Me either. Well, I've got the shell of it, but...
That counts. Judy, it's so sad to hear about this hit and run, this lady that was driving her car and she hit a bicyclist and then just picked up her
license plate,
and
which
drove
was a good
off.
Piece of evidence,
right.
And she left it there.
Good move.
Yeah.
But I would say to you that because of all the additional bike lanes that have popped up, not just in Chicago, but the outlying suburbs as well, you're going to see a lot more bicycle accidents.
Yeah, you know what? I can't get used to the bike lanes.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to navigate.
Yeah.
I have one right in front of my house, actually. And it's just, and so, cause I always, if I'm on the front porch, I hear the bicyclist screaming at the car, you know, up and down the street, because, you know, people aren't used to it.
It doesn't seem right that it's on the right side.
Yes. And then what
it
happens
really
when you need to make a right?
Yeah.
That's tricky, especially in the
right?
city. There's a couple places where it's very vague on where the bike lane is and isn't.
Right. And not to mention in the city, when you have the bike lane, there will always be all these trucks parked on the other side of the bike lane.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Taking up part of the bike lane.
Yep.
Now the bike's taking up part of your lane because there's always, you know, people making deliveries, whatever. It's just, I think it's a disaster.
Should be in the center. There should be two lanes in the median that are, you know, forward and backwards.
Exactly.
But if you're the bicyclist, being in the middle.
You can say bicyclist.
Bicyclist. If you're that.
Biker.
If you're a biker. Being in the middle is more dangerous because you've got traffic on both sides of you. Like, you don't have a safety side
to
veer off to.
I guess we'll just get used to it. You know,
I will never get used to it.
Well, and what really, really bothers me are the bicyclists who don't
abide by
the
rules.
Bicycle. Oh, my gosh.
They don't stop at stop
signs. And then they get so upset. And it's like, dude, you know, you came out of nowhere.
I know.
You went through the red light because you're waiting and there's no cars coming. But, you know, you got to obey the rules of the road.
And here's the deal. We have a car to protect us. They don't.
Right.
And many of them are not wearing helmets, which I admit I probably wouldn't either if I'm going.
In the city?
Well, in the city I would.
Yeah.
And, you know, I trust myself, but I have a friend in the suburbs who didn't wear a helmet. Or actually, yes, she was a helmet wearer. And she got hit by a car and probably would have had brain damage if she didn't have her helmet on.
Yeah.
She got hit pretty badly, broke her jaw. I just going around the neighborhood probably wouldn't wear a helmet.
I wouldn't ride a bike in Chicago. It's to me scary. I mean, I like riding on the sidewalk, and apparently you can't.
No, you can't anymore.
I always rode because I was always like, get on the sidewalk. If there's someone, you know, and you're on the road and it's really busy. Now I get it. They don't.
My husband may have called the police about some kids riding on the sidewalk in our neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there is a blind corner where people have bushes, which there's also a law about that where you're not supposed to obscure the corner.
Yeah. Your husband called on bicyclists in the suburbs?
All right, listen. I don't know if he 100% called, but he said he threatened to. And he was coming around one corner with the dog. And this is Tiki, the old man Tiki. And these kids were going super fast down the sidewalk the other way. The bushes obscured the view, and the dog almost got killed. And he yelled at them pretty choice words. And I said, I'm the one who said, well, call the police.
They're not supposed to be riding on the sidewalk, and especially in the suburbs.
Are you sure?
Yes.
In the suburbs?
I called to find out. I didn't report anybody.
They kids always ride their bikes.
They're not supposed to be.
Now, the city I can see.
They're not supposed to be on the sidewalk.
I had no idea. I wonder if that's village by village.
It could be, but LaGrange, they are not supposed to be on the sidewalk.
I wouldn't make the law that kids can ride on the sidewalk, but adults have to ride.
And they can only ride like stingrays.
Yeah.
They can't ride speed bikes.
But they shouldn't.
Stingrays only.
They should, you know, like a little kid riding a tricycle or something. Who cares if they're on the sidewalk? But you get these teenage kids who are going like 50 miles an hour. Again, blind corner. That's unacceptable. What if there's an old lady with a cane? Maybe me. Maybe I'm not that old. What if I just got my knee replaced and I'm walking and there's a blind corner there and they take me out?
Yeah.
See, the blind corner seems to
be the problem. But they should stop at a corner. If you're going to fly down the sidewalk, what about, I mean, we have to be so careful backing out of our driveway, as many people do in the suburbs. Unless you're in a cul-de-sac, you have to worry. Right. If there's a kid or a family, or we have people walking
or a car
from the train, a lot of commuters. And adults know if they see reverse lights, they'll wait for you to go. Because I'm telling you, sometimes you just don't see somebody standing there. But kids, they come flying down the sidewalk. I know I sound like an old lady.
These kids
but
with
they're
their long
get
hair.
Hit.
And their banana seats.
Oh, their banana seats and their bicycle tires.
Well, that's funny. I only used to ride in the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Always.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, I guess times have changed.
When you went to comedy clubs, do you remember a group called A Couple of Fat Guys?
Yes.
They were musicians and comedians,
mm-hmm.
Pat and Dave. So whenever I would see Pat, so when I was living in Rogers Park and he was too, he was always, 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 always on a bike. I'd see him 3 times a month just driving by. Really good. He got killed by somebody, didn't have a helmet on. They sideswiped him, knocked him off, and he died from the injuries.
Oh, my God.
Horrible. And a friend of mine that Terry and I had dinner with last week, Billy, has said that over the years, and he's been a bike rider forever. I mean, he has a car, but he prefers to travel by bike. He said, I've been hit 12 times over the years. 12 times.
And if they ride so frequently, I'm sure they're very defensive about they don't trust cars.
Yeah, he's very careful.
But it's hard. I mean, I remember one time I almost hit a biker in Wrigleyville. The guy was so mad. He was pounding on my window. I wouldn't get in my car. Like, oh! But, you know, I didn't see. It was dark. He didn't have any lights
in his
bike.
You can't
and I'm
see.
Like, dude, what?
I know.
I didn't even know what I did. All I know is he was very mad.
Yeah.
So I probably cut him off. I'm like, okay, I'm on Clark.
Yeah.
Where were you? There were no bike lanes at the time.
Yeah.
I just, you know, it's one of those things where, and he was just so upset. I'm like, well.
Well, Clark is one of the streets that has added bike lanes. Like, if I drive in from Evanston all the way into the city on Clark, it's almost all bike lanes. But they're so poorly managed. Like, there's times where you just don't know that there's a bike lane there. I mean, it's there, but you can't tell.
Yeah.
And they just fly past.
I mean, half the time it's hard to see, you know, a car in
that
blind spot. Try to see a bicyclist at night with no lights.
Yeah. So it's strange because I love what they've done and said, look, we have to do something to combat fuel prices. So I know a lot of people are going to ride bikes to work. I love that, but it's still not perfected. It's still so dangerous.
I feel like they should have made the lane on the sidewalk.
That's interesting. To do like a graveled in lane that's only for bikes.
Yeah. So at least they're out of
there's places you
there's
can.
There's more people that walk than ride bikes.
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
sorry.
By far.
Yeah.
Because you see that in parks a lot. There'll be two lanes next to each other. One is a jogging path and one's a bike path. But you still see people who don't understand.
Are there signs? Because a lot of times.
Not always.
I don't know. I know.
No, not
you
always.
Hear right.
Yeah.
Left.
Yeah.
And I just stand there. I just freeze.
And that brings you back to your military days.
There was a roller skater. This was 3 summers ago who wanted to fight me because he was so furious that I was riding my bike in what he said is the rollerblading lane. And I go, where does it say rollerblading lane?
Rollerblading,
dude? Everybody knows it's rollerblading.
Okay, no one does.
Who even rollerblades anymore?
Well, he was a visitor from the past. He was like a specter.
On the lakefront, I guess I do see a lot of rollerblading.
Every once in a while. But he was so angry. And I'm like, it doesn't say it anywhere what's what.
Exactly. I think it's you're supposed to know.
Right.
Right? You walk and the left is the bikes.
Well, I think it has to do with the pavement or gravel.
But I'm in my suburb, it's Nothing. It's just a paved road.
Yeah.
Going, you know, it's like the Great Western Trail. I mean, there's no...
the Donner Trail. Yeah.
It's the Pioneer Trail.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for horses to come by.
I don't like the intermingling of walkers and bikers because it just isn't good.
I don't like the great outdoors now that we're talking about it.
That's inside. Why I don't go outdoors.
People need to stay inside at all costs. You want to live longer? Just stay inside.
Oh, man. I'm telling you. No, it is good. It's great that people are out more and walking and riding, but we have to learn the rules.
But I swear to you, this year you're going to hear so many more of these types of accidents just because they're so much more prevalent than they ever were in the past, you know?
Absolutely.
There's bike lanes everywhere. Now, sometimes at the cost, like in Evanston, there's some streets that are really busy streets, and they were busy when they were three lanes or two lanes going each way. But when you take out a lane for bicycles, and it's tough because you can really, really only ride your bike half of the year here. I mean, give or take a month.
Yeah. Although people do go. I mean, I see people in the winter riding.
Yeah, bikes.
And I don't get that because you can't get any traction. The wheel like spins.
I don't know why.
And
it's cold.
Yeah.
And there's ice and snow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand that. But you know what? That's our only mode of transportation.
You know what? I see the bikes out here. The
divvies?
Divvies.
Which a lot of people don't know how to drive, though.
I know. But it's a great, you know, especially when you have tourists. It's just a great
asset. That are driving in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I feel like other countries are much more advanced than us in the biking.
Do you think so?
Yes, I do, too.
Although, it's funny. I was, because my son's going to L.A., and I thought, oh, maybe you should get a bike. And then I was like, oh, my God, after going there, no. Do not ever ride a bike.
It would be scary in Los Angeles.
It's because they have 10,000 lanes of traffic. Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah. Everyone's got a big car.
Yeah.
Because they think they're a big
deal. In Europe, if you, like, I know we picked California over Stockholm, but I would have definitely gone that route.
It's much smaller cars.
The bike riding.
Much smaller cars there.
So much better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have one, and I ride it on, I'm very lucky.
I'm just going to ride mine in my backyard, my enclosed fenced-in yard.
If you
ring,
I have, of course I have a bell.
Oh, Judy's
and
up early.
And it's got three wheels, by the way, so I think I'd be safer. No, it's harder to ride that bike.
There's a trail by me, the Green Bay Trail. It goes alongside Green Bay Road, and it's fantastic because there's no car traffic. There's a little bit of foot traffic. You know, there's some people walking around.
But you got the rollerbladers.
But, yeah, there's that guy.
Still, the one guy.
He's still gunning for me.
Your bike has three tires? Seriously?
Well, I have one.
Aren't you embarrassed to ride that?
No,
I know what
I
it
love
is.
Riding.
It's an adult trike.
Yeah, I got an issue for my daughter. It's very difficult to ride. She's not been able to. Yeah.
It's heavy, right?
You have to be on to ride that bike, you have to be on a very level surface.
Oh.
Nothing's level, ever.
Yeah.
So, and it's a navigated turn, and so I ride it a lot.
Oh.
Wave to people.
But it's fun, right?
Like
you have a good time when you do
basket.
It.
Oh, gosh, I love that bike. Yeah, but I'm not riding it anymore because I was riding it on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
You're the one. Yeah, not on the... Why do you ride it on the sidewalk?
I come to LaGrange and ride it.
Just to bug me.
Oh, just to bug you. When do you walk your dog?
Jim will call the police on you.
You're going to end up in jail,
dude. That'd be really funny if he did.
I don't think
he called the police, but I think I said to him, you should call the police because I said, we have to find out if it's legal to ride on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't call, but we looked it up. And
it is.
You can't ride on the sidewalk in residential areas.
Yeah. I don't like it. I don't like that rule.
And we made the neighbors trim their bushes, too. Oh. They were mad at us, but whatever.
Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. Judy, thanks for hanging
out.
Absolutely.
Happy
Friday. We'll close things off for the week, and then we'll tell you what's coming up next week. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
We are going to get a minute overtime today, Bill.
I need it, Wendy. I'm putting two kids through college. I need the money. Some highlights of next week are what we hope will be highlights. You know, we never know until they're done. Mike Leonard rejoins us, a documentarian, a news guy who has a wiffle ball stadium in his yard.
Yeah.
I love him.
I do, too.
Jimmy Pardo, big White Sox fan, stand-up comic. He joins us on Wednesday. On Tuesday, Jesus will be on the show.
I can't tell you how excited I am to have Jesus from the Lyric Opera's Jesus Christ Superstar. That's the Jesus who's in.
Oh, you thought
it was the real guy?
Yeah, my sheet just says Jesus. Mm. That'd be awesome.
That'd be a good booking by Jasmine.
That'd be in feeder, I bet.
Still not.
You don't think it would?
I don't know. We got to perform better.
Okay. We'll get it. All right. That's it for us, everybody. Have a great weekend. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.